Come on, brother, and preach to these free Presbyterians. Amen. And you have 25 minutes. 25 minutes. And you go for them.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Glad you're saved.
I'm glad I'm saved in the Free Presbyterian Church. Amen.
Oh, yeah. That's sanctification.
Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Aren't you glad that we got a book that tells us about the past? It also tells us about the future. But I think more important right now, it talks to us about the present and how we should live. When you read the Bible, there are so many things that we can glean from it, but one thing that I learned as a young Christian is I'd read through the Word of God. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so I wasn't exposed to the things of the Bible. But as you begin to read the Bible, some of the things you find in it would get your attention very quickly. That is how practical other people lived. Same old world, same old devil, same old flesh. And the decisions they made, they had to live with, and I think we all know that today. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we fail to see the simplicity and the practicality of the Word. Because we come to the life of Abraham, you're very familiar with the story, and I want to just talk to you about it because it'd take me 2 or 3 minutes to read the verses that I'm going to look at, and so I want to use the other time to make some applications with it. But here in the story in Genesis chapter 13, the Holy Spirit, and of course there's so much in this that we could glean from, but he recorded for us an encounter in Abraham's life. And in that encounter, we see that there was a potential of some very serious problems that was a result of strife. And I find in my life and in my ministry, even since I've been saved, and I'm sure that you have since you've been saved, if you're serving the Lord, there's going to be many opportunities that you're going to have to deal with this problem of strife. Well, how will we learn how to deal with strife? And you know, this is not my statement. I don't know who I heard it from, but it's good and I use it. And that is that our philosophy must be out of our theology. And so when we come to a philosophy, that is really a way that we see life and how we deal with life, it must be out of our theology. And I think Abraham had the right philosophy on how to deal with strife, and we're going to look at that in a very practical way for a few moments this morning. I'll use verse 11. Verse 8 will be our text verse, and we're only going to make reference instead of reading the entire account, because I'm sure you're very familiar with it. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. There was a decision that had to be made. I pray thee between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Now let's have just a brief word of prayer, and then we'll look at some practical things that Abraham did. It's one thing for me to stand and look at a brother in the eye and desire that there would be no strife, because when there is strife, there's obviously a division. And we'll never know where that division will take either one of us in life. And Abraham was facing a decision of how to handle strife. And all of us are going to have to handle that during our life. But what will we do that we'll know that we did right in this matter of dealing with strife? Father, I pray this morning or this afternoon as we look briefly at some very simple principles of life that Abraham had and that he dealt with this matter of strife. For the devil would like to get in, and he will get in if we allow him, and only we can open the door to allow him in our lives, of our marriages, between us and our mates, our children, our brethren that we serve with in our churches. And only we allow him in through the door of strife to bring great division and great harm to so many things in our daily life. So may we just share very briefly some very simple principles that governed Abraham's life that was very practical And Lord, we'll understand a little more, I believe, why you said Abraham was my friend. It wasn't because you were like Abraham, but it was because Abraham was like you. And Lord, help us to be conformed to that very image ourselves. And we'll thank you for what you teach us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I know I'm speaking to men who've been in the ministry a long time. If you've been in the pastorate very long, you're always going to have to be dealing with people. If you have a staff, there's always that great potential of having strife. How do you deal with strife? There's people that I have met in my ministry. It seems like they've become so accustomed to living in bitterness, living in jealousy, living in even hatred, that they almost think that is the way life is. But I want to say to us here this morning that that's not the way life has to be. But strife is something that we have to deal with. I want you to turn your Bible for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, we know that Abraham didn't have 1 Peter, but I want us to read something in 1 Peter that really, I believe, that it really spoke to my heart when I was reading and studying from this book, and so practical. You know, God is interested not only where we come from and where we're going to spend eternity, but how we live our daily lives. And so many times, if we're not careful, we don't allow the Word of God to speak to us in our daily lives and how we deal with situations of life. Let me read to you in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. He said, "Finally, be of all of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful and be courageous." Now listen, and here he says to us how we're supposed to live. Now it's easy to say those things, but what is the manifestation of it? And then notice the exhortation beginning in verse 9. "Not rendering evil for evil." If I asked for a show of hands this morning, how many times has somebody did you evil? Probably every hand in here would go up. Now the Lord knows that we're going to face things, even as Brother Kyle was preaching about coming outside the camp and our stand and our suffering. And how do we respond to that? Because there will be a reaction to everything that comes in our life. We will respond one way or the other. Well, he says to us, the admonishment is not rendering evil for evil, but counterwise, blessing, knowing. Now listen, this is what caught my attention reading this. "Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing." Doesn't God design and bring blessings in our life different than the way that we would bring blessings into our lives? Did you catch what he said there? He said, when somebody does you evil and something comes against you that's wrong, he said, don't do evil in return, because he said, counterwise, knowing that herein your call, that you should inherit a blessing. So how we respond to things that come in our life that may be intended to be evil from the enemy really is the means in which God will bring a blessing into our life. I wonder how many blessings I'd miss when something was done to me wrong and I had this philosophy: I don't get even, I get ahead. Many times we miss many blessings. Nanny said, "For he that would love life," do you love life this morning? And then he said, "And he that would see good days." Now I don't know about you, but I like good days, don't you? Now he's speaking about our daily lives. He said, if you love life and you want to see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Now, I don't have time to make some personal applications about this, but how many of you have got up in the morning and you thought, boy, I'm going to have a good day, but something happened and your tongue said something before the day got started, and it seemed like the longer the day went, the worse it got, and finally you had to say, wait a minute. I know why my day is not good. Because of something that come from our tongue, and you can't have a good day. In life simple, in the Word of God simple. And then he said, and that his lips from speaking guile. Now my wife's sitting here, and I've You know, sometimes if we're not careful, who do we usually begin our first of our day with? I'm talking about humanly speaking. It's usually our wife. And more than one time I've went out and I wasn't having a good day and I had to call her up and say, honey, I know what I said earlier this morning just wasn't right. And I don't want to go through the rest of the day having a bad day. I'd like to have a good day. Would you forgive me? But you know, the old flesh doesn't like to do that. But isn't that so practical? Then he said, let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord. Now remember this, because we're going back to Genesis. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the fear of the Lord is against them that do evil. I want us to go back to Genesis 13. Now, I want to just give you three very simple principles this morning. Because remember, Abraham was facing strife. We're all going to face it. The devil will always delight. And may I say, he never takes a vacation. He's not retired. He's very much at work. I've been in the ministry long enough. I've seen a lot of men that I begin a ministry, that begin their ministry when I begin mine, that are not in the ministry, and it's because of some decisions they'd made. I know men that I preach with is not even related. They're not even the same marriage they were when they started, and because of some things and decisions they made. The devil's always going to be working. And here Abraham faced a situation. And here we see how he handled. He faced the issue. He said to Lot, he said, let there be no strife between me and thee. Now I'm sure this morning that all of us in our mind could go back, and maybe even right now, there is a present potential of great division because of strife coming in our lives. Abraham faced it. And whether or not we realize this or not, but how we handle it and what we do, the consequences is we're going to have to live with it. Now you can't make the decision for somebody else. But you do have to make the decision for yourself, and we all have to live with the consequences of decisions that we make on how we handle and deal with strife. I remember the verses that we read over in 1 Peter. The eyes of the Lord are upon them that do good. And his ears are open unto their prayers. Now Abraham had to make a decision. We don't have time this morning to go in and look at all the things that brought this potential strife there, that opened the door to have the opportunity, because then it really doesn't matter, because all of us are going to face potentials of problems because of strife, whatever it may lead from. Theirs had to do with the land. But I want you to notice what Abraham did. Remember, he had to make a decision. He didn't want to have strife. And so he did something, and he said, we be brethren. He did not want to break the division. Now, I'm not talking about walking from a brother that's disorderly or in sin. I know what the Bible says about that. If a brother is in sin, that we are to, he is to be rebuked, and we are not to walk with those that disorderly. But did you know most of the time in our Christian life, our division doesn't come over doctrine, it comes over personal preferences. I appreciate what Brother Kyle was saying a few moments ago, and he's so right. You know, we can fellowship around the truths that we know that are the essential, infallible truths of the Word of God. But you know what brings most of the divisions in our fellowship is when we begin to preach our convictions that we may get from the Word of God. But the problem with that, that's our convictions, and we want to make our convictions infallible, and that's what we fellowship around. Then out of that will come of our philosophies, because we think that everybody's got to have the same philosophy that we have, when really our philosophies come out of our convictions, and our convictions, what we understand the Word of God says, and out of that comes our attitudes many times. And you know, a lot of times we only base our fellowship on, if you have the same attitude that I have based on the philosophy that I have, and our convictions must be the same. Now, I'm not talking about dealing with not separating from a brother that's walking disorderly, but I'm talking about our everyday potential problems And usually, the door of opportunity from strife comes because something personally. And this was a personal thing. You know what Abraham did when how he dealt with it? Well, first of all, this is not deep. This is just something very simple. He yielded his own personal rights. You know who the biggest, you know who the problem I have with the most is me. Now, Abraham said, Lot, let there be no strife between me and thee, for we be brethren. And you know what he did? He yielded his rights to the choice of the land. Lot didn't have that right. And we know in Genesis 12, God gave Abraham the land. And we know that God, Abraham, took Lot alone. And we know who Lot was. He was Abraham's youngest brother's youngest son. He had no rights. But he yielded his rights. Why? That there would be no strife. Now, listen to me. You say, Brother Johnny, if we go through life and we yield our rights to those who really have no rights, they'll take advantage of us. And you know what? Most of the time, you're right. Lot did. Now, we're not looking at Lot this morning because I want us to look at Abraham. But Lot had the attitude that, hey, I'll use this opportunity to gain what I think is best for me. And he did. He chose the best of the land that he thought was best for him. He took advantage of Abraham saying, I don't want us to have strife. And he yielded his rights to his own choice. You know, many times we can avoid strife by doing that. But you know, remember what the Bible said? In 1 Peter it said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. I want you to notice, if you would, very briefly. In Genesis 13, this was after Abraham yielded his rights and let Lot make the first choice, that there would be no strife. There would be no division. God said in Genesis chapter 13, in verses 14 and 15, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. And for all the land which thou seest, for thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. You know what? God said, Abraham, I saw what you did. You yielded your rights. Now look around. I'm going to give it to y'all. Listen, when you do right, I believe sometimes our churches are suffering because people get bitterness in their heart. Somebody says something and we misunderstand it, or maybe they said something we understood and it offended us personally. That wasn't a doctrinal issue. It was a personal issue. But we allow strife to get in. And I've seen this in my ministry, and I know I've seen the devil bring divisions in churches and in denominations and in families. Simply because we're too proud to give up our rights. But you know what? God saw what Abraham did. And he said, Abraham, look around. I'll give it to y'all. No Christian does right without God in heaven seeing it. And God will take care of you. Do what's right. You know, we could talk about that some more, but I don't want to do that. I want to go on and give you the second point. Because I think it's an evidence of a man with a Christ-like spirit. I've always wondered, you know, God said, Abraham is my friend. Now, that's one thing for me to say, he's my friend. That really doesn't mean a lot. But it's something else when he says, I'm his friend. And God said, Abraham, that's my friend. You know why? I think God is saying, Abraham's like I am. Our God is a merciful God. Aren't you glad that He is? Aren't you glad that He is? The second thing Abraham did in this matter with Lot, and we find that, and I don't have time, but in chapter 14, verse 10 through 16, you know the story. Abraham made the choice, wound up down in Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's going to come a time, let me say this to us, Those who make the wrong choices will get the consequences of bad choices, even brethren. And how are we going to handle it? How are we going to deal with it? I see another very practical thing in Abraham's life with Lot. Lot's now in trouble. All these kings came down, they went through the land, and Lot found himself being taken captive, and all that he had was taken captive. And now Abraham has to make a decision. He had to deal with the fact, why was Lot down there? He made a wrong choice. He wouldn't take advice. He was with the wrong people, doing the wrong kind of things, living in the wrong kind of way. But you know what I found in my life, in our life as Christians? When somebody does us wrong, God will give us opportunity to do them good. Isn't that practical? And Abraham made a choice. You know what he did? He went out, took 300 of his servants, not soldiers, took 300 of his servants and armed them and went and helped Lot and delivered him and brought him back. He didn't take the attitude, he made his bed, let him live in it. He didn't take the attitude, maybe he'll learn the hard way, he wouldn't listen to the good advice. He said, my brother is in need, and I can help him, and I will. And you know the story, and we don't have time to read it, and I wish we did, but I hope you'll read it. When he came back, did you know the king of Sodom wanted to reward Abraham? And you know what? Abraham wouldn't take a reward from the wicked. But I want to make a personal application. Abraham would not take a reward from man for doing right. You know what I found in Christianity today? Most of the time when we do right, we want recognition for it. And if we don't get the recognition that we think we ought to get for doing right, we won't do right next time. I cannot help but think about when we went to Puerto Rico. There was another couple with us, and their son found this lady's wallet. Now, what's the right thing to do? Well, for a child, it's to give it to his dad. And for the dad, it's to call the lady who lost her wallet, and they did that, and they called her, and they came, and she retrieved her wallet, and it had money in it. And you know what? She didn't give that boy a reward. And I heard the daddy say this. He said, served her right. If somebody else had found it and she hadn't got anything back, she didn't give my son a reward. And I thought, how sad. What's the reward of doing right? That is the reward for doing right. You do right. But we oftentimes do right to get a reward. Abraham did right because it was right, and he would not let man reward him nor recognize him. But very quickly, I want you to notice chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. After these things, what things? Doing right. Remember the whole thing deals with the philosophy of strife, being Christ-like. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am with thee in thy exceeding great reward. Remember what was said over in 1 Peter? The eyes of the Lord upon them to do good. He said, hereunto we are called and do a blessing. God will give us opportunities through life to those that even do us evil, do wrong, take advantage of us to do right, that he might reward us. And Abraham, God said, I'm your reward. Now let me ask you a question. Would you rather have man's reward or God's reward? I'll never forget a man that came. He came to Puerto Rico and was starting to work. And Brother Aceball was his name. And he helped us. God used him, and he's placed a lot of people in our path. Has been very helpful in our ministry. Brother Aceball would come down and he'd work, pay his own way, and even buy material, and we'd build in buildings. And right before he'd leave, he'd say, now, Brother Daniels, don't steal my reward from the pulpit. I'll wait until I get to heaven to get my reward. You know what he was saying? He's saying, I did this for God, not man. Now, Abraham had that type of spirit. Then I give you the last point. I'll just mention it to you. You know the story of Abraham and Lot. It's so sad. We're not looking at Lot, but I have to mention him. When people make wrong choices, there's always going to be consequences to those choices. And you've heard it said, you reap what you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. And it come reaping time for Lot. And God had a conversation. And he said, can I not tell Abraham what I'm going to do? And he went down and he told Abraham what he's going to do. He's going to destroy. Judgment was going to come. You know, you and I are in this world and we know judgment's going to come. But do we have any compassion for this old world? What did Abraham, what was Abraham's attitude? You know what it was. You can read the whole story in chapter 18 of the book of Genesis. Abraham began to intercede for Lot. Not just for Lot, for the city. God, would you find, if you found 50, if you found 40, if you found 30? That was the spirit Abraham had. You wonder why God blessed him? You wonder why God honored him? You wonder why God said, that's my friend? Because he had a Christ-like spirit. Listen, God wants to bless us. But we have to make choices. Things come in our life. You may be sitting here, and I close with this. You may be sitting here this morning, and you've been hurt. Are you going to keep that hurt, or are you going to give it to God? You may be sitting here this morning, and because you hadn't dealt with hurt, bitterness is getting in. And don't let the root of bitterness take hold of your life. It'll defile you every time. It'll destroy churches. It'll destroy ministries. It'll destroy marriages. God said, Abraham's my friend, because he had a Christ-like spirit. Father, I pray what we said this morning, these few words, would help us to see we need to have the spirit of Christ, which was manifested in the life of Abraham, who for the sake of not strife, yielded his own rights, helped his brother in a need, and always had compassion and interceding for the wicked and for those that knew not God, that knew the judgment would coming. And God, I pray that you'd give us the same spirit in Christ's name. Amen.